Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I've got two powerful, incredible women joining me. We are talking today to Linda Wharton and Kim Knight on the topic of Safe and Effective Roadshow, an amazing event coming up. Common sense, compassion, and justice are some of the themes of this event. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks, Natalie. Lovely to be here.
Good to see you. Good to see you again. Kim is a returning guest, and I'm so happy to have Linda. Been wanting to have Linda on the show for a while, and I am a big believer of divine timing. So here we are. For those of you that might not know these amazing ladies, Linda Wharton has had a 35-year career in soul practice as a naturopath and registered acupuncturist, specializing in holistic women's health. She enjoyed a parallel career as a health researcher, writer, columnist, and book author. She's the author of 3 holistic women's health books. And in 2021, she started a Facebook group many of you will know. It's called the Health Forum NZ. The group grew rapidly and soon attracted New Zealand's COVID vaccine injured, and later those mandated out of professions because they refused to comply. This group lasted 9 months before being deplatformed by Facebook. And during the 9 months, it grew in size to 58,000 people, predominantly New Zealanders. The Health Forum NZ continues a strong social media presence on Twitter, NZ and the mRNA, and Telegram and Facebook as well. Kim, let's talk about you. For the past 18 years, Kim Knight, aka the Kiwi Health Detective, has worked as a lifestyle medicine practitioner, helping clients to get to the hidden root cause of their health problems. And when COVID hit in 2020, she inadvertently found herself employing her health detective skills to research the history of modern medicine with its predominantly ambulance at the bottom of the cliff approach. I agree. What she discovered both fascinated and alarmed her and simultaneously helped make total sense of why the health system has become what it is today. Well, ladies, I'm so honored to have you here. I'm so thrilled to share some of your wisdom today and to learn a little bit more about this event because it is up and coming. It's happening in November. And part of my mission today is to help everybody to know about it. There's so many things going on. Some people just might not know about it. So let's go to you, Kim. I would love to know this event that's coming up, and then I'm going to dive into what you ladies will be speaking about at the event. I'm a huge fan of the power of people coming together in person. This event is in person. It's happening in 4 locations in the South Island. Can you let us know what is the Safe and Effective Roadshow about?
What it is a group of concerned citizens who have come together, spearheaded by a man named Ken Nicholson, who is both a barrister and a psychiatrist, who was very alarmed at what he saw when he was supporting people through the mandates and through injuries. And he decided, you know, New Zealanders, it's time for them to have more justice. And so the theme of the whole event is a quest for common sense, compassion and justice, searching for truth, impacts and solutions around the New Zealand COVID response. And in particular, obviously, we know that a lot of people have woken up. They understand what's going on. They've seen the true consequences of taking this experimental technology. But a lot of people are really struggling and really still in the dark, but starting to question. They're not understanding why their friends and family are dropping dead, why they've got mysterious symptoms, which they're being told by their doctors are not related to the vaccine, even if they've thought to ask that, because a lot of people don't. And I just was speaking to Gary Moller last week, who's one of the speakers at the conference, and he said that he talks with a lot of people who are vaccine, well, he helps a lot of people who are vaccine injured. And he said that apparently there's this new sort of diagnosis now called vaccine anxiety. And a lot of people going to the doctor are being told, oh, well, you just have vaccine anxiety, you need to see a psychiatrist. So people are still being gaslit. And whether it's done on purpose by doctors because they're afraid to face, you know, the truth, or whether, I don't know, it's not done on purpose, it's happening. And so a lot of people, they just simply, they're not putting two and two together. You know, I have heart problems or whatever, but I think it must be something else. They're not connecting the dots to it potentially being the vaccine. So we're trying to bring more information to this topic to help people understand what is really going on. And there's a mix of doctors and other health practitioners talking on a very wide variety of topics to help people understand the bigger picture of what is going on, so that more truth, compassion, and justice can be brought.
And I think that the fusion of those three things is so critical. So yes, some people are maybe ready to hear more about the truth. Maybe they put a few dots together, but not entirely. And I think for some people, they haven't been surrounded by people that they felt comfortable to have these conversations with. So I think to connect with people and in person, where it's just a different energy than on Zoom, and to be able to listen, but if they're up for it, upping their brave and asking some questions, even if it's just to the person sitting beside them. What an incredible lineup you've got. I'm just looking here at the flyer that I actually picked up and at the NZDSOS conference. I can see that they're one of the sponsors. You've got the amazing Dr. Emmanuel E. Garcia, Human Rights Medicine, Psychoanalysis and Politics. You've got Dr. Allison Goodwin talking about ACC claims. As you mentioned, you've got Guy Hatchard as well. Who else is going to be there? What other topics are going to be covered?
Well, actually, before I mention other main speakers, so to speak, I want to mention that we're going to have some vaccine-injured people there as well, sharing their stories. And what you just said before about how people, you know, find it difficult to talk about this. Again, when I was talking with Gary Moller recently, just saying, hey, do you know any people in Wellington who might like to share their story? Because we want to do this so to help people have the courage to actually come along and listen to this topic, because it can be quite scary to suddenly be confronted with the thought, oh, I might be vaccine injured, or I might, even though I'm feeling fine, maybe, you know, what's going on inside my body? And I really recognize this. It's not an easy thing to face. So there are some very brave people who have been vaccine injured in various ways who will be talking at the roadshow as well.
Well, that is so powerful. I remember at the first NZDSOS conference last year, listening to some vaccine injured people just sharing their stories. It was very powerful. Linda, I'll go to you. And before I ask you what you're going to be speaking about, I first want to start off kind of on behalf of myself, but also many of our listeners, thanking you for all of the work that you've done, tireless work, I'm going to say, emotional and probably draining work over the past, well, your whole career, but particularly the past 4 years, which it's just a bit of a time warp, isn't it, to think that it's been 4 years with your group, the Health Forum NZ. Oh, my goodness. First of all, how are you? How are you doing?
Thank you.
How are you holding up?
Thank you for asking. That's so lovely. Not many people ask, so I really appreciate that. Thank you, Natalie. Okay, well, I'm going to be honest today. I know that's what you want from me. And my question about that you asked me to think about before the interview as well, I'm also going to be honest if we get to the answer of that. So how am I? I am extremely tired right now. I'm very tired. My energy's low. It feels like my concept of time has completely disappeared, and I can't kind of remember the world that I was in and the person I was prior to starting this work, really, in the last few years, because it has necessitated complete focus, you know, and devotion to this work, because it's there all the time. There are people needing help all the time. The reality is physically I'm tired. Emotionally and spiritually and psychologically, I'm as determined as ever to see justice and some kind of truthful outcome for the many thousands of New Zealanders who have been harmed by predominantly the Pfizer mRNA.
Thank you for your honesty. In a world that we live in where most people say, I'm fine, right?
Yeah.
To say, I'm exhausted is actually, it makes it okay for other people. But you are right. I mean, from what I've seen from a distance, I can see that it's been all consuming for you and people needing, it's almost like, you know, when you're little and you're, you know, when you have kids and they're little and they're pulling on your skirt or your pants and everyone wants you, it's like so many people wanting you all the time with genuine concerns and problems and information and inspiration. It's a lot. So, thank you for all that you've done. I hope you take time for yourself. And I mean, you guys are revving up for a big event.
We are.
4 days, is it? I don't know if it's back to back. Okay, so we're starting off in Dunedin on the 9th of November. And then the 11th in Queenstown with me. I'm going to be the MC there. I'm so excited.
Oh, great.
On the 13th in Nelson and the 15th in Wellington. So I like that you guys have given yourselves a little buffer day in between.
Yeah.
Smart.
A rest day or a travel day, probably.
A travel day. I'll just stay with you, Linda, and then I'll go back to Kim. How are you feeling about the road show? Because just prior, you said you're more determined than ever. Although you're tired, you are more determined than ever. How are you feeling about this event?
Oh, I'm excited about it. And I feel very honored to, you know, to be one of the speakers, because I have great respect for all of the other speakers and, you know, friendship with a lot of them as well. So it's a great opportunity. I mean, we've just come back from 18 months in the caravan, predominantly touring the South Island, and I did a lot of speaking events. But this is wonderful for me because it's not just me. You know, I'm sharing the stage with a number of colleagues and like-minded souls who are all in for truth and justice for New Zealand.
Well, that's what we want. And I think we're ready for it. A lot of our listeners will have heard the series that we did, the COVID inquiry series. A lot of our listeners will have put submissions in. We're all just waiting for something, some good news. And I think this is really a big part of it. Kim, I'll go back to you. Is there anything else you want to share with us in terms of who is this event for? You can give me some examples of some of the speakers or just tell me the types of people that are going to be sitting in those seats, listening, maybe coming to the meet and greet and chatting with some of the speakers afterwards.
Sure. So the speakers are, as I said, a mixture of doctors, health practitioners, and also vaccine-injured. For example, Barry Duffield, who was an actor best known as a really hunky actor in Spartacus and Xena Warrior Princess. He ended up, you know, in hospital with a serious vaccine injury. So he's going to be sharing his story. Dr. Emmanuel Garcia, you already mentioned. Then two doctors from NZDSOS, Dr. Alison Goodwin and Matt Shelton. Guy Hatchard is going to be there. Some more natural health practitioners, Mark King, Gary Moller, who's been on many times on RCR, and a holistic dentist, and Linda, and then Ken Nicholson, who instigated the event, the barrister. And interesting enough, when you were just talking before about, you know, it's scary for people to come forward, Gary wrote the other day to me, he said, when I was asking him about, you know, do you know any people who would come forward to share? He said, most are not prepared to go public. They're ashamed, hurt, and humiliated. Mm. And few people are prepared to say publicly that they were fooled and swindled. So, you know, so many people still think, yeah, that nothing has gone on and they're getting back to their lives. So, yeah, who is this a call out to? It's a call out to people who do understand what's going on and they want to hear more. They want to hear the latest updates, but we're also very much focusing on solutions. So if you have a vaccine injury, for example, we're going to have a couple of speakers talking about how do you get your ACC claim accepted, because it's an absolute minefield. So there's going to be lots of solutions, lots of guidance, lots of hope. We want this to be positive, but again, helping people to actually understand the truth of what has been going on. And in my talk, the hidden history of medicine, helping people really put together the pieces of the puzzle is, why is our health system and our whole societal system as it is right now? There are reasons for it.
Well, Kim, I got to say, I am so excited for your topic. It is something I'm fascinated by, history in general, and also coming from a very medical family myself, and having met much resistance in that domain, I'm very interested to learn from you and to have conversations that flow from what you raise about your topic, the hidden history of medicine and the new era in health. Are you able to share a little nugget or a little bit of wisdom with us today that on that topic?
Yes, it's like, oh my goodness, where do I start every time that question is asked? But when COVID hit, I suddenly found myself looking at a lot of documentaries and videos on this particular topic, going into the history of medicine, and my eyes started popping open. And one of the things that I really came to see was that it's totally interconnected and interwoven with big pharma. I mean, you know, we could say big pharma is medicine, but, you know, if we take big medicine, big pharma, big food, big agriculture, big politics, big climate, big media, and most of all, big banking. And they're all totally intertwined and interwoven. And really, it seems to me that everything started really rocking and rolling, so to speak, at the end of the 19th century. So the late 1800s and the early 1900s is when it all started. And I do have a little clip that I can play that really succinctly shares a very important nugget of information about what happened back then and why we are where we are now.
Well, that sounds like a great little introduction. Let's go and listen to that audio clip now.
So in the early part of the 20th century, there were tens of thousands of medical practitioners. And these medical practitioners hailed from all different backgrounds. There were herbalists and homeopaths and doulas. And yes, there were doctors, like medical doctors, what we know of medical doctors today, but there were all these different disciplines, acupuncturists and stuff like this. And it was not expensive. It was not expensive. And what are known as medical doctors today were not revered. They didn't have the godlike status that they have today. They were not above society. They did not make more money or anything like that. In fact, the American Medical Association was founded in response to the American Homeopathic Association. I forget what its exact name was, which was the very first medical society in the United States. And the people who founded the AMA said, listen, we don't have a problem with homeopathy. We just don't like that whenever they move into our area, they take away all of our patients. Well, why do they take away all their patients? Because it's successful, it's effective, it's non-toxic, it's non-habit forming, and it's inexpensive, and anybody can use it and do it. So they sought to get rid of it. And the Flexner Report was the vehicle through which they did that. The Flexner Report was a report commissioned by John D. Rockefeller, and I think it was Andrew Carnegie. It was one of the Carnegies. And it was a report that was actually drafted by the American Medical Association, but they knew that they couldn't submit it to Congress because it would look very obvious that this was an attempt by the medical people to sideline their competitors. And so John D. Rockefeller, who invested in petrochemicals, wanted to use the Flexner Report in order to solidify chemical-based medicine, pharmaceuticals, as the default medical system in the United States. And they used the Flexner Report to do this. They submitted it to Congress. One of the brother of Carnegie's, one of his senior staff members, wrote it. And they submitted it to Congress, and it called for standardization and licensing. We need to standardize everything. The problem is that and there were no problems, but they said that the problem was, oh, well, there's quackery. Well, quackery was the medical guys. It was the ones selling the chemicals, you know, the ones who were doing bloodletting and giving mercury to people in order to cure diseases and things like this. It was the doctors doing this, not the homeopaths and the acupuncturists and the herbalists. That's not who was doing it. It was the medical guys. But Rockefeller and Carnegie had other ideas because they saw chemical-based medicine as a path to greater riches. And so they asked Congress to standardize, pass laws to standardize and license medical schools. And then what happened once they had done that was they put all of the money into marketing and funding the medical schools, and they took away any interest. There was no support for any of the other groups. There were 20 homeopathic hospitals back then. And I forget how many homeopathic medical schools, but many. And they took them, they basically just didn't fund them. So they withered away. And they also simultaneously put out hit pieces and smear campaigns on anything that competed in order to undermine the public's view of these things as quackery and snake oil, when the true snake oil salespeople were the doctors pushing these chemicals on people. Arsenic, they used to give people arsenic, you know, I mean, so this was a really important piece of the puzzle that helps explain why we are where we are today.
And to add, one thing that was really shocking for me was finding out that the origin of chemotherapy came from the petroleum industry, again, through Rockefeller. I mean, you're going to hear the name Rockefeller over and over and over again. And of course, it's all tied up with banking as well, because he was one of the original bankers. So it's just shocking what really happened that nobody knows until you find out this stuff.
Well, you know, I'd heard a lot of that before, but what I didn't know was 20 homeopathic medical schools, that type of thing. It was really the norm. And it sounds to me we've gone from what once was a healthcare system to a sick care system. And what you ladies and me and a lot of us are trying to do is help us all shift back to a healthcare system. Can you comment on that, Linda?
Well, 100% agree. I'm so looking forward to Kim's talk, because it hasn't been a specialist topic of mine looking at the history of medicine. So obviously I'm from the camp that was sidelined. My background, my whole passion and career has been naturopathic medicine, which involved the use of homeopathy and herbalism and lifestyle and diet and meditation, the whole thing. And traditional Chinese acupuncture. So I was in the sideline camp. But yes, you know, we're just beyond broken right now in New Zealand with our sickness system. I receive reports every week, at least one report, if not more. Last week, it was actually a member of my family who took a sick partner to the hospital A&E in Hamilton, the Waikato. And they sat in the waiting room for 12 hours. They got there at 7 p.m., left at 7 a.m. They didn't see a doctor. Every seat in the waiting room and the floor were covered in sick people. They had somebody laying on the floor with a shotgun wound who waited 7 hours before they were seen by a doctor. They were bleeding on the floor in the overpacked A&E at Waikato Hospital last week. And that's, you know, that's the truth of where we're at. And so I get those reports from every hospital in New Zealand. And nobody is asking why this is. And it's obviously a composite picture, right? I'm not going to automatically say, oh, it's all the mRNA injuries. No, it's bigger than that. Definitely. Yes, there are people presenting to A&E. There are people on hospital wards with mystery illnesses, with doctors seemingly baffled as to the cause of, you know, severe degeneration in otherwise healthy young people. That's happening. But why else is it collapsing? Well, partly it's economic. People can no longer afford to take their, you know, sick loved one to a doctor. So they go after hours, you know, or emergency situation to an ED at a hospital. And yeah, I think primary care medical services are collapsing. You have to wait 6 to 8 weeks for a consultation with a GP. That was reported to me about 2 weeks ago in Taupo. Elderly person can't see a doctor in Taupo for 6 weeks. So if you don't get your primary care at GP level, things remain unaddressed and they end up at an emergency presentation. So, you know, it's just a systemic breakdown the whole way through.
Well, it's definitely, as I went on Marie's show once, Counterculture, and I was the guest for a change, and I was talking about the phrase that many of us know, which is the breakdown before the breakthrough. And it's a phrase we use in the personal development realm, but also it is, I feel, what we are going through, both financially as well as in the healthcare system. Kim, I'll go back to you just to comment a little more on your topic, which is so fascinating. Is this something that you had kind of suspected over the years as the Kiwi health detective, and then it was really reaffirmed or amplified during the COVID years for you? Or did you know it for ages?
No, I did know it. For example, I've been speaking at medical conferences, what I call mainstream medical conferences, for a few years. And I'd be sharing these stories of people getting well from chronic illnesses, which they've been told by their doctors they couldn't heal, or at least they couldn't help with some sort of medication, but more that they couldn't heal. And so I'd been sharing these stories of people recovering from chronic illness and wondering, why aren't they interested? That they don't seem to have any interest in this. They just want to keep going down their lane of, you know, the pharmaceuticals and, you know, et cetera, this way of doing things. And I was getting more and more frustrated, sort of beating my head against a brick wall, so to speak, thinking, why is it that nobody's listening? I remember I even talked to I made a connection with the Director of Health of New Zealand. That's what's it called? The Director General of Health, you know, that the person who usually stands up on the podium during the pandemic. It was actually the previous guy that I made contact with. And he said, yeah, you can phone me. But then when I tried to, I couldn't get through. And they go up to the government stands at these exhibitions, the health department stands, and say, hey, can I speak to somebody and talk about the fact that, hey, I've got some solutions here of how we can actually help the healthcare system. No interest. And when COVID hit, and then I started researching into the history of medicine and just seeing the backstory of how the whole medical system was set up, it was like, oh, now I get it. They don't want people to be healthy, which is why, you know, for years I've been walking into supermarkets looking at these aisles and aisles of processed packaged foods and asking myself, why is it when we know that these foods are harmful, why are they manufacturing them? It's like we know the answers. So why do they keep making this food? And it is because, again, it's like big banking, big agriculture, big food, big pharma, big media. They're just all in this little plot, really, or it's a big plot together to keep the populace dumbed down, sick. And there's more to it behind it than that as well that I will share at the talk. And some of it gets a little bit left field, I've got to say. And I'm not saying I know all the answers at all. I'm just reporting what I've learned that most people haven't come across.
For a lot of our listeners, they'll be nodding their heads and saying, yes, absolutely. And for some people, that'll be hard for them to accept, you know, hard for them to see. But I think it's kind of undeniable to a certain extent. I mean, even, you know, the oath, you know, do no harm. Surely it should be something like help them heal instead. Do no harm, since it seems a bit lame. I think we could probably do a little more than that. Just saying, when we create the new, you know, mission statement. So if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to two amazing women. We're talking about the upcoming Safe and Effective Roadshow with Linda Wharton and Kim Knight, who are both going to be speakers at this event. Kim, you've done a lot also with the logistics and helping to pull it together, which is so amazing. Linda, I'd love to go back to you now and share with us a little bit about your specific topic. I know you're talking about, all of you will be talking about the same thing at each event. We've got four events coming up. Linda, you're talking about New Zealand acknowledgement and stories of affected New Zealanders. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so the title of my talk is mRNA Harmed, Silenced and Forgotten. And because, you know, I'm not a doctor, I am not spending my time actually treating mRNA harmed New Zealanders. I'm, you know, providing latest breaking science and information and social connection in a virtual world on platform, and then also directing people to resources, to ACC resources and doctors and specialists that we have a short, warm list of specialists and doctors who are not gaslighting vaccine-injured New Zealanders. So I'm kind of down on the ground with the people, with the vaccine-injured people and their families, that kind of grassroots communication. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about, the world that I live in, sharing a lot of stories and experiences and conversations, you know, the reality of what I'm seeing and what hidden and silenced New Zealanders are experiencing. Because, unfortunately, actually communicating this reality to people is so challenging. I obviously, the main tool that I use is social presence, social media on Telegram, Facebook, and Twitter or X. But the reality is that, you know, we're in an echo chamber. We're up against algorithms all the time. We're up against speaking to the already aware and converted to the truth. And we're up against brutal censorship. Even on the supposedly free speech platform of X, there is immense, very sophisticated censorship on X. It's not as cut and dried as on Facebook, where you just, you know, your post gets taken down or your group gets closed. On X, it's a lot more tricky than that. They advertise themselves as the free speech platform, but depending on what you're speaking about, they really throttle your reach. They'll let you speak, but they'll just make sure nobody hears you. So this event is very special because nobody will be censoring these stories of truth. It will be hopefully a full room of people in every venue, and the audience are going to hear things that will never reach them online. So that's what makes it quite special.
Well, I think, you know, I'm really just going to put my own little plea out there or invitation to people listening. It's like, you know, I live in Auckland. I don't really travel. I don't really go anywhere. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to go to Queenstown because it's like, I have a few airpoints. If you've got airpoints or if you have the inclination, get yourself in the room. I have a friend, they're driving, I think, 6 hours to get to the Nelson event. I mean, people are committed. Wonderful. It's going to be life-changing. And like you said, uncensored, but not like fear-based. It's information-based. And like Kim was talking about, hope, solutions. Kim, can you want to jump in and add anything to this conversation?
Yes. Well, it was interesting because we are approaching the mainstream media. And one of the replies we got was, I'm sorry, we can't do any editorial. We've made it a priority to remain neutral when it comes to public debates that could lead to divisive or controversial discussions. While That's we nice. Do actively monitor reader comments, we do actively steer away from topics which opposing views could result in conflict and polarization amongst our readers. And I just thought, what a load of hogwash.
Did you think polarization is your bread and butter? What are you talking about?
It used to be.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's funny. But yes, Kim, as I was just saying, you know, hope and solutions. So it's this, what it sounds to me from you ladies, it's going to be this beautiful coming together of people sharing the truth, but also, you know, solutions and hope, which is so important. So it's not just people are coming to be scared, but they're able to ask genuine questions from genuine people that have been through things. And I know, Linda, you've read all the reports, you've received so much information, and for you to be able to synthesize it for people and to make it more understandable. If you're listening, we'd love to hear from you. What are your experiences on some of the things we've been talking about? You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. We always love to hear from you. And hopefully some of you will get to see you in person. Linda, back to you. Anything else you want to add in terms of your presentation? Is there any nugget of wisdom or any statistics, anything you want to share with our listeners today along the lines of what you'll be talking about on the day?
Yeah. So my presentation is actually going to be quite multimedia interactive. It's not just going to be a dry talking head, e.g. me. I'm actually going to have my talk peppered with quite a few video clips on the way through. I want to demonstrate to our New Zealand audience that not only is COVID injection harm real in New Zealand, but it is real in every corner of the world, and that we are actually united in our struggle for visibility for the harmed people. It's almost like there is somewhere a directive guidebook, because we're all having the same experience of medical gaslighting, social media censorship, you know, inability to access good quality healthcare for injured people. So I'm going to be drawing parallels with other corners of the world, sharing stories, and largely depending on the other speakers to bring the hope. Because if I'm speaking the truth about what I've lived through, I have to be real about it.
Absolutely. You know, in my work that I do, I'm a business coach, a visibility and vitality coach. And I love talking about the archetypes. And the archetypes are the motivator, the nurturer, the visionary, and the truth teller. And you're right. You're going to be the truth teller, you know, at this event, and other people are going to be the nurturers and the motivators and the visionaries, because that's what we really, it sounds like we're coming together at this event. I'm including myself in the we because I'm going to one of the events, but I know there's four, and coming together to really create the vision for the new reality of health. But you can't create the vision until you actually know what has happened and you're honest about that. And I love that you ladies and the other speakers are going to be covering that. I'm going to go to the Up Your Brave question, and I'm going to give you ladies a chance at the end. If there's anything else that's burning that you still want to say, I'm going to give you a chance. The question is, if you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do, Kim?
Well, this is it. This is really upping my brave, because it does take courage to stand out and speak against the inverted commas establishment. And there have been times when I thought, oh no, this is too much, I'm going to walk away. But something inside keeps me going as ever. So this is me upping my brave.
Well, Kim, you know, I've known you for probably 10 years or so. I consider you ahead of your time, you know, the trailblazer in your kind of calm and quiet way, with such a wealth of knowledge that I feel like the world wasn't ready for. And finally, they are. So I'm so excited to be sitting in that audience and listening to you speak at the event. Over to you, Linda. How are you? I know you've upped your brave in so many ways as well. Maybe having a little rest is upping your brave for you.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Natalie, because you don't know what my answer is. I wrote two answers this morning. The first one came off the top of my head and I looked at it and I thought, actually, that's not really true. So you're getting the real answer, the second one. And when I think about upping my brave, it's actually not about achieving anything or doing anything. It's about giving myself permission and implementing a lifestyle practice of creating more space and time and quiet just for me, because I'm very aware that the way I've sustained this work is by not really letting the pain in, people's pain. I've been going so fast that I haven't let it. You know, if I had really opened to the pain, I wouldn't have been able to do this work. And now I'm feeling upping my brave involves me spending time in personal reflection and personal development work to process what I've been through in the last 4 years.
Yeah, because you've just kept going.
I've just kept going.
But we don't want to catch up with you. We know the impact of the emotional health and physical health. Yeah.
So, Kim, I'll be giving you a call.
We want to support you in that. And obviously, yeah, boundaries is so important when everyone wants an opinion or sending you an email. I just can't imagine. So that's great. Upping your brave, as everyone knows in my audience, upping your brave comes in all shapes and sizes. All right, ladies, let's go to you, Kim. My next question is, what is coming up and how can we connect with you? When is the event happening? What are the dates? Where can people go to book themselves a ticket? What's coming up? How can people connect, Kim?
Sure. So the event is running between the 9th and 15th of November. It goes Dunedin on the 9th, Queenstown the 11th, Nelson the 13th, and Wellington on the 15th. And the website is roadshow24.nz.
I love that we can say that and it's pretty easy. So they literally just type in roadshow24.nz.
Yep.
Amazing. And it'll be posted on my Up Your Brave socials as well. And I think that William, one of the other MCs, has done a great video about it. So you can definitely find that easily. What about you, Linda? What is coming up for you? Obviously this, but anything else? And how can people connect with you? Although we want to respect your privacy as well.
No, please do connect with me. So what's coming up for me immediately is part of my new endeavor to take more time for me. I'm actually going on a little cruise just for 6 days with my wonderful mum as her companion. So I'm really excited to just have time. I'll be hanging up the computer, not taking it with me, and just having a wee break. So that's number one. A couple of days after I come back, I'm flying off to do the road show, which I'm really looking forward to. And then my big focus moving forward into next year is obviously as much work and input and information that I can provide to phase two of the COVID inquiry, which is finally looking at employment mandates and harm and efficacy of the Pfizer product. So that's my field. I'll be there.
What a long and drawn out process it's been. Oof. These past 4 years. It's just, it's mind blowing how quickly, but also how slow everything has gone. Ladies, I'll give you a chance. Is there anything else you would love to share with our listeners today before we wrap things up? Kim.
I would say that to the people that are still thinking, you know what, there's nothing wrong about it, and start to get really, what's the word, defensive whenever you start bringing this topic to the fore, is have an open mind and suspend judgment. And I remember, I'll just share a brief story. This was about in the first year, there was a colleague of mine who was posting on Facebook, and I could quite clearly see that she was very pro-vaccine. She was in that camp. And I was quite surprised, because we've known each other for a long time, and she is into natural health. So I didn't expect her to have that stance. But I kept doing my posting as I did. And I didn't say anything to her. I just was observing her posts. And then one day I got a message saying, you know what, Kim, I'm just so grateful that you kept posting, because I've completely seen the light and I just understand now what has gone on. So this is the breakthroughs that we're wanting people to have. And I'm going to be talking about this in my talk. It's called a ring pass, not expansion experience, where you go beyond your current state of understanding of reality. And this is what we're trying to help people to do, so that they actually see the truth. Because as in the lines of Boston Legal, what is up is down and what is down is up. And so what we've been told is the truth is actually not the truth. And what we've been told is misinformation is actually the truth. So things have got very skewed, and we're trying to set the record straight.
It's so fascinating. Oh, my goodness. Well, even, one or two people, I mean, it makes a difference, right? Because then they go and have a little chat with somebody else. And that's how collectively I'm here to raise the consciousness of humanity. And I feel like this is a big part of that process. What about you, Linda? Anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I would just encourage them to come along to this event, because there is talk of and hope of further such events. A lot of people have contacted me and said, why aren't you touring the North Island? So this can only happen if the citizens, the people of New Zealand, support us. So please come along. RCR are doing amazing truth-telling work, but there's nothing quite like being in the room with the hugs and with the real people. So I'd encourage you to come. And this is an ideal event to bring friends or family who are just starting to sense something's not quite right, but they don't really know what it is. This is a safe place for them to come and listen to people who really will speak in a respectful way and know what they're talking about.
I'm so glad you said that as well, because that's right. This is the ideal event to bring people along that are starting to question or have been quietly questioning. They can come along and they can learn. Amazing. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thanks,
Kim.
Amazing. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see some of you at the upcoming Safe and Effective Roadshow.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.